So great to be here. Jeez, you actually have been busy, eh? Making children, eh? Goodness gracious me, eh? You've taken the Bible seriously, eh? Go forth and multiply and fill the earth. Wow, I'm so excited, eh? Well done for just obeying God. And yeah, it's so good to be here. I remember when our son Mitchell was born, I remember just this baby grows in your tummy and you have a bond from right in the beginning. And a mother has this, just where Jesus says, well, Mary says she treasured all these things in her heart. And then, but for a dad, it becomes instant, you know. All of a sudden you go from a pregnant mother to a wife and a mother with a child. And so it happens all pretty quickly. So we had two children, and then we had two miscarriages. Mel was quite far down in her miscarriages. And when she had those miscarriages, it was an amazing thing to see just in every area, just the hormones. One of the doctors explained to me the hormones go from 2,750 to 18 in 24 hours. So I was wondering why I had this wife who was different. It looked like the plane had crash landed, and maybe I should be meeting with your husbands, and because it's you have this. So God's designed you cyclically. That's how God's designed you. It's the gift of God. You work on a 28-day cycle. That's how God's designed you, and He's designed many men linearly. So we want to go from Joburg to Durban, and we want to get there as quick as way possible. And it's a straight line. So now you put a straight line person with a cyclical person, and you've got to try and make it work. It's not easy, eh? And you don't know where you're on the 28-day cycle, and then you have a child, and the cycle goes upside down, and then breastfeeding comes in, and all these. So we've been through it all. We've been through it all. I remember one of my friends was trying to be intimate with his wife after a baby was born, and so they didn't know what to do with the baby in the same room, in another room. What they will do, so they put the baby in the room and he was sleeping, and then the husband was trying, and then he thought, no, this feels bad, so he turned the baby around facing the corner, and he started his business, and then the baby cried, and the milk just shot out like it is. And he said, no, the baby's gonna have to be in another room. So we understand, and God knows all of these things. God knows all of these things beautifully. So we've been down it. We are the parents of four children. We have been down this road. But I want to particularly speak to you on the concept of daughtership. Before even motherhood, just the concept of daughtership. That's before you're a mother, before you're a wife, before you're a businesswoman, before you're an income earner, before you're anything, you're a daughter. And many people get that thing mixed up. So the Bible says first the natural, then the supernatural. So the very first title that you ever get given is daughter. As you get born, you get given the title son or daughter. So when you get born again, it's first the natural, then the... So when you get born again, the first title you should understand is daughter as well. But many times we don't. And so we try and find an identity in other things. And especially if you've come from a broken home or from an abused home, what happens is you try and find that identity in the arms often of a man. And what that does is it actually perpetuates another cycle of brokenness. So you try and find this identity in a man who's strong and he's going to provide, and he impregnates you and leaves. And so we'll have some single mums here. And the reason you're single mums is because you are looking for an identity, hopefully in a man, that will always disappoint you. Your identity can't be in a man. A man will disappoint you. Your identity has to be in God. And so we have these cycles. So you see it all over the world. Every robot you go to, there's a Zimbabwean, a young teenage Zimbabwean standing in a robot with a child in her arm, and there's no man in sight because she's looking for something that will just secure her or at least give her a house or a something. You can't find it in a man. You have to find it in God. So two half people make a big whole. So when you're a broken person and you marry a broken person, that's not a whole person. That's a big hole. And you try and spend the rest of your life trying to fill that hole. And so I keep saying to Mel, I can't be Mel's encouragement. She has to walk with God. Her gift to me is wholeness. It's not brokenness that I'm trying to fix. It's wholeness in God. And so when she had the miscarriages, I was thinking in my heart, a baby is the healing of a lost child. It's not. God is the healing of a lost child. And I realized that unless Mel got whole, we could not have another child. And so when people look at us, we've got two children, this big gap, while God was busy dealing with Mel, and then two more children. Do you understand? Because we kept thinking we need more children, and I thought, I can't have another child until Mel has found wholeness in God, because that child will not fill the gap of the child that we lost. Does that make sense to you guys? And so I just want to share four scriptures with you today. That's all. Four scriptures, maybe even three. And you're going to have to learn how to receive. Say receive. And we know what happens when you're pregnant. Your body's changed. Your cycles change. All those things change. And if you don't understand this, you're going to get into a performance mode to try and appeal to something that we see on magazines, which is completely unattainable. It's unattainable. So right in the beginning, the devil lies three times. But one of the lies he says to the woman, he says, if you eat this apple, you will be like God. Say, like God. She had already been created. The Bible says in Genesis 1 that we are created in the image and we are already created in the image and the likeness of God. So there's nothing that you can do to change what God thinks about you. You're already created in the image and the likeness of God. The moment she ate the apple, women have become insecure from that moment to this moment. And they think that their security is linked either to attractiveness or performance. It's not. Your well-being and your likeness is not linked to attractiveness or performance. It's God. It doesn't mean you can't look pretty or you can't. It just means that your identity is not linked to attractiveness or performance. Because men will always try and make you perform. Happens in the church. If you perform, if you jump through a set of hoops, you'll become a leader. That's not how identity works. Identity is a gift from God that He gives. Does that make sense to you? It should liberate you wholeheartedly. That means when you get older, you don't have to try and keep looking pretty. That's what happens with the church. As the church gets older, the guys try and zhuzhi the church up. It's like putting Botox into the worship team all the time to try and make this bride more attractive. The genuine biblical way is to actually learn how to love an aging woman. Like we learn how to love. This church is 30 years old. We've got to learn how to love an aging church. Or you have to be perpetually beautiful. And what happens with men is that as they go to work and find a younger secretary, they just hook up with a younger. It's like trading a car in. You want a younger car because they don't understand the foundation is not in attractiveness or performance. The foundation is in God. Does it make sense to you? Okay. So let's have a look at John chapter 1. We looked at it on Sunday. Let's have a look at it again. John chapter 1. For you, those who weren't here, you'll just get it. If you were here, you just got to understand it. Verse 10, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, say received Him. Say it again, received. Not achieved. Say it, received. Not achieved. You can't achieve it. You can't achieve daughtership. You got to receive it. And most of you got no idea what receiving looks like because you have to work all the time. Child, parent, this thing. So you got no idea just to stop and receive. You think, I just got to receive it. Say receive. How many are good receivers? And so people battle with this for 30 to 40 years. I've seen people that are great mothers, great businesswomen, great wives, and at 75 years old, shocking daughters. You can biologically become a parent at the age of 12 or 13. You can be 75 and not understand what daughtership means because you have to receive it. Does it make sense to you? You've got to receive it. And it's not based on attractiveness or performance, eh? So you got to receive it. when you wake up and you've put on 25 kgs because of your pregnancy, and you look in the mirror and the milk is going all over the show and there are pimples on your face, you go look in the mirror and you say, I am created in the image and the likeness of God, and He loves me. I'm His daughter, and He loves me without makeup on. He loves me. Say that He loves me. I receive that He loves me. Say that I receive it. He loves me. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Say right. This is, I had a piece of paper on Sunday, but this is, I have a right over property 1278 Pretorius Park. I have that right. That is my right. When a squatter comes here and squats there, I get hold of the Pretoria City Council and I say, I've got a squatter on my land, and they come and they remove that squatter because that squatter has got no rights over that piece of property. Does that make sense to you? I've got a right over that piece of property. And so when bitterness comes into your life and squats on your piece of property, you have to call the scriptures and say, but the bitterness has got no right on this piece of land. But because we don't understand our rights, all of a sudden, before you know it, unforgiveness is sitting here, unattractiveness is sitting there, rejection is sitting there, and all these things are sitting there. And before you know it, you're living in a squatter camp. You're living in a squatter camp where you can smell the burning of rubber, and you're living in a. I've got a picture in my office of a man walking his little daughter away from a squatter. It was given to me by a black pastor. It's one of the best gifts I've ever been given in my life. It's an original artist of a black man in Nasna, who one day he walked in and he said to his wife, I have to get my daughter out of here. And that black man gave it to him as a gift, and he said, I was like a vulnerable girl in a squatter camp, Rory. And you walked into my life and you picked me up and you walked me away. And whenever I pray, I lie on my couch and I look at that picture of this little girl over her dad's arm walking away. Our task, friends, is to walk people away from squatter camps into our, say it, into our rights. Say, I've been given a right. No squatters allowed. No squatters allowed. And so when you look in the mirror, you say, no squatters allowed. It says this. He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You have to understand the scripture, friends. As it happens, as I said to you, for those who are here, you hear it again. This is who I am. All of us measure our birth. That's how Pretoria works. What family did you come from? What school did you go to? What car do you drive? We measure our worth by our stuff. God doesn't. And so when this stuff is good, it's awesome because we can have identity. When that stuff is bad, it'll haunt you for the rest of your life because you try and make up for this. I've seen this 100 times. If you grow up in an abusive home, you end up attracting other men who will do exactly the same thing that your father did to you. You've got to break the power and the pattern of it. And so God said it's not by natural descent nor human decision. So He completely bypasses our biology and He gives us a right that comes in heaven. Our Father art in heaven, and that right starts working its way down. So say this with me, my biology has been bypassed. You have to understand that. If you understand that, you'll never need the approval of a man to make you feel good. Do I bless Mel with my words? Hopefully I bless her, but her great gift to me is not the need to be blessed. The gift to me is that she's secure in this truth. I have a very close family member of mine who got divorced. And I said to her one day, I said, you look beautiful. And she said, do I? that is exhausting. I said to her, you know what? Our relationship is going to be put under enormous pressure if every time I compliment you, I have to re-compliment you. It's brokenness. So when your husband says, I love you, you said, do you really love me? That's brokenness. You look beautiful. Do I look beautiful? Brokenness. It is an exhausting process to try and find security in an earthly voice. It will kill you. It will kill you, and you will live with an insecurity that will never be filled by a human being. Does that make sense, friends? And so I'm telling you today, that is your position in God as a child with rights, and you have to receive it. You think, cheapers, Rory, you're strong. No, because I've seen this causes years of brokenness. And then you think, I'll just find it in a man. Impregnated, the man walks out of town, you stuck with another child, and the cycle just continues over. That's what's wrong with South Africa. We have got an identity issue in South Africa that just perpetuates itself over and over again. And we can stop it by saying, I receive. Say, I receive the rights of as a daughter of God. So when the Bible says son, he doesn't mean he's not being gender insensitive. He's being culturally radical. Women never got inheritance. So when God calls you a son, he's not saying men are more. He's not saying that. He's saying you have the same rights as a firstborn son. In the modern translation, it says son and daughter, but that's soft. It doesn't actually mean that. What it means is you, girl, you. What's your name, young lady? Cornelia. You, Cornelia, have the same rights as a firstborn son in God's family. What's your name, young lady? Janique, you have the same rights as a firstborn son in the family. Say, I receive that. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 3. Are you okay? Is it helpful? And everybody thinks I'm this big, strong, tough guy with a loud voice. I think I've treasured my wife. It's been the greatest relationship of our lives. I don't think I've ever raised my voice to my wife. We had this as we've worked it out. She's given me her security in God, and I've tried to give her what God has given to me. We've never, ever discussed even things like submission. I don't think it's ever come up in 33 years of marriage. We've never discussed it. It's not an issue in our home. So I think if you understand this, I understand that before she is my wife, before she is the mother of my children, she is a daughter of God. And the way I treated Jesus said, I only tell you what my Father tells me to say and how to say it. So if I understand the Father, even the tone of my voice should be under the authority of God. And so when I understand, he says, our Father who art in heaven, you've heard me say this many times, our Father who art in heaven, I'd like to speak to you about my marriage. From my perspective, it's my marriage. From his perspective, it's his daughter. So he says, oh, you mean you want to talk to me about my daughter? Yes, Father. So, okay, then if you understand me, then the tone of your voice is going to be under my authority. Yes, Father. Makes sense. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 3. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. Say, heaven was opened. You don't have to open heaven. God opened it. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven. Say, voice from heaven. Say, voice from heaven. What are the most important voices in your life? What's the most important voice in your life, young lady? Hey? Yeah? What's the most important voice in your life? Yeah. What's the most important voice in your life, ma'am? Then it has to be them. What's the most important voice in your life? Jesus. Say voice from heaven. There are thousands of voices. You will pass, I don't know if you know this, you'll pass 18,000 adverts a day if you just go to work and back. 18,000 adverts a day. And they sell everything on women's bodies. Cars, oil, shampoo, you name it, they'll sell it on a body. You can sell a BMW on the curve of a woman's back. And I look at it sometimes. I drive, eh? Remember, I'm a preacher. I look sometimes in the congregation on Sunday and I see women broken because they put on weight through childbirth and they've got a husband that says, you're fat. And they've got a billboard that's got a body which is absolutely sleek and photographed, and there's a BMW on top of it. And I think, oh dear God, will the voice from heaven please shout over these girls and just remind them that they're your daughters and that you love them. Otherwise, you're going to produce an image that is an earthly image to make an earthly person happy. I'm not saying don't make your husband happy. I'm just telling you that there's a voice from heaven that has to settle you. Say voice from heaven. If you are saying that is the most important voice, then act like it is the most important voice. Because if that's the most important voice to Melanie, then I do not have to spend the rest of my life trying to build her up. It is exhausting. It is exhausting. Does it make sense? Surely it's got to make sense. God is producing strong, independent people who are absolutely. And then when you form it, so one put 1,000 to flight, two 10,000. When two people get married, they should become 10,000 times stronger than when they were single. But actually, it causes sometimes like a brokenness because we're waiting for the voice from earth and a teacher and a parent and a boss who says, you're useless. You know what the Bible says? The big spirit, big S, speaks to the little S that I am the son of God or the daughter of God. Just saying that it only says son, but it means daughter and son. So the moment somebody tells me I'm useless, the big S speaks to the little S and says, you're the son of God. Somebody walk in and say, I don't like your preaching. As they walk away, my human nature wants to fall apart, and the heavenly nature says, big S, you are the son of God. Does that make sense? Do you believe that, ma'am? You believe it? Completely. Amen. Say voice from heaven. Says this. This is my son. The girls, don't get rattled. He's talking to you. This is my son. Say, this is my son. Identity. Voice from heaven. This is my son. Identity. Voice from heaven. This is my son. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you think, oh, it's weird. Just say daughter, but he means the same. And what I'm trying to tell you, it's radical. This is my son. Before she's my wife, before she's the mother of our children, before she's a leader in the church, she's a daughter. Whom I love. Say whom I love. I look at those Zimbabwean girls on the side of the road, and I think, they're just looking for love. They're just looking for somebody who would love them, somebody who would take them in. A daughter's sexuality is meant to be underpinned by her dad, not in a sexual way, just secure, strong, strong. I'm looking about any form of abuse. Just a strong male identity, loving her so that she doesn't have to give that away to a horrible man with grubby hands who wants her sexuality. And when she gets secure in that, one day you hand her across to a man. You've heard this many, many times. We put our money from our daughter's bedroom into a building project. Sometimes I regret it deeply, but we were building. We didn't know what else to do. We didn't have enough money to redo her room and build the church, so we built the church. And sometimes I really regretted it. Because he just came home to an ugly green carpet, blue walls, and a cot. That was her brother's. Our first daughter should have been pink and beautiful and millions of rands spent on it or whatever it might be. But I tell you this, when her fiance walked into my home or her boyfriend walked into my home and he said this to me, he said, I will never walk into your daughter's bedroom until the day that I marry her. And I realized 20 years later, we sowed a bedroom and we reaped a godly man. We sowed a bedroom and he reaped a godly man. Just keep it linked to heaven. Keep it linked to heaven. Say, this is my son. Say that. Whom I love. With him or with her. Say with her. With me. He's well pleased. Say, I'm his daughter. He digs me. And he's deeply pleased with me. The voice from heaven says that. Yes, young lady, you at the back. You know who I'm speaking to. You at the back. You know who I'm speaking to. When you walk down the aisle pregnant, the biggest wedding I've ever done in my whole life. There's a voice from heaven, young lady. I'll speak in any room. There's a girl like you in the room. I love you. I've prayed for you from the day that I met you. There's a picture of you and I in the upstairs room before you walk down that aisle of just holding your hands and shaking your hands. And I want to say to you, young lady, there's a voice from heaven over your life. It says, this is my daughter, whom I love. With you, young lady, with you, he is well pleased. I love doing your wedding. It's one of the great privileges of my life. How are you doing? You're right. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's my love. Peter 1 and verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories. You know what? There are all sorts of motivational speakers who come up with all sorts of stories to build people up. Yes, and come on, and reward yourself, and honor success. It's a lot of rubbish. It's all cleverly invented stories to make people feel better. It's written in the Bible. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received, say received. So these are the only words you're going to remember today, and you write them down. He received. The world, its whole life, will put this on me. When you shake somebody's hand and say, hi, I'm Rory, they say, what do you do? I say, no, it's not what I do. I am. I am what? I am a son of God. I am in love with Jesus. I am a father of four children. I am a husband of a beautiful wife. What do you do? It's not important. I sat with a guy yesterday. I had a nail in my tire. Got sat down. I said, how are you, sir? He said, I'm really battling. What do you do? I said, it's not important what I do, sir. What do you do? He said, no, I'm really broken. We ended up talking about his family. And the next minute, I've got the 75-year-old man. I've got him in my arms, just weeping because of a nail on a tire. But the Bible says he's waiting for the sons of God and the daughters of God to be revealed, because what will change this world is not your motherhood. And what will change this world is not your leadership. And what will change this world is not your business. What will change this world is when you understand God the Father as a daughter, because there are millions out there that have got no understanding of being loved, hearing a voice from heaven. They just hear disqualifying voices from all over the earth. So let's read what it says here. For he received, say received. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. Haven't we just read that? What did he receive? Hey? Write it. Write it down. Honor. Honor and glory. That's what he received. He had never performed a miracle in his life. He had never preached a sermon. He had never healed a sick person. But he received honor and? You can't work for that. It's a gift. You'll spend 50 years of your life working for that. And Jesus received it as a gift. Jesus never worked for honor and glory. Jesus worked from honor and glory. Completely different. And then they ask you, how big is your church? How many home groups have you got? My honor and glory doesn't lie in the size of the church or the effectiveness of the church. Where have you preached? It doesn't lie there. My honor and glory lies in my sonship. So if you went to a school like I went to school, how many of you had an honors board at your school? How many of you had an honors board? How many of you had an honors board? Or have kids at school with an honors board? academic honors, sporting honors. Do you know how many people make an honors board at a school? <laughs> 4.2%. It's fine. It doesn't bother me. It's no problem. <laughs> 4.2% of people make an honors board. You know how many people make an honors board in life? Because the measurement's wrong. The measurement is money. The measurement is size. The measurement is influence. And so Tiger Woods is the most honored golfer on this earth. Would you like to be married to him? Yeah, because the measurement's wrong. Donald Trump, the most influential man in the world. Would you like to be married to him? Of course you wouldn't, but our measurement is wrong. So I'm telling you, when our measurement is right, you will start to operate in this. And if I could have a time with your husbands, I will teach them that honor and glory is a gift from God. She has received honor and glory. I must treat her accordingly. She doesn't need me to get honor and glory. She gets it from God. Makes sense. Say honor and glory. So when you look in the mirror and you're competing with a glossed over AI picture with white teeth and muscles, you just look in the mirror and say, there's a voice from heaven that says to me, I'm his daughter, he loves me, he's well pleased with me, and I've received, say received, honor and glory. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. It's a gift, young lady. What's your name? Yana. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. Honor and glory. Amen. Let's close. I'm sure you're tired. Are you tired? Sorry. You're tired because of your baby not sleeping. Yeah, I got insomnia from my babies not sleeping. You know there's an amazing scripture that when Mel, I was a young preacher, I was 27, I'd never read through the Bible, I was leading a church of 1,000 people, and as the baby would squeak, Mel would just jump up. It's like, pow! Wake me up, feed the child, get back into bed, go to sleep, and I think, ha. One sheep, 1,002 sheep, 1,003 sheep, 1,004 sheep. I got complete insomnia. And then the Bible says, though a mother forget her child, Isaiah 42, though a mother forget a child. And every time I read that scripture, I just think of my wife. I said, could you put the child down the hall? It doesn't matter how far down the hall you put the child, or what building you put the child in, when that thing goes beep, you go. Though the mother forget the child, I will not forget you. You know what, ladies? I deeply love pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers. It's so deep to my heart. I want to just look at some of you and just weep. In the loneliness, at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. with a burping, breastfeeding, colicky child. Just remember this. Your father will never forget you. And as lonely as you feel, even if you're here as a single mum, as lonely as you feel, the father will never forget you. Let's read John 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, hasn't God just said you're my son? Hasn't he just said from heaven, you are my son? So the first temptation the devil comes with is if you are the Son of God. The first temptation he'll ever come to you with is your identity. It's the first temptation, because if he can mess with your identity, he can mess with your whole life. If he messes with your identity, he'll mess with your whole life. So the first thing he does, he comes and he undermines identity. He says, I'm gonna catch you, Jesus. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You see, when we're under pressure, we learn how to turn stones into bread. All of us do that. We learn how to survive. I remember a guy preaching this in England, and I watched him. I thought, that's what happens when you're under pressure. Doesn't matter if you sell cars or if you're in the church. You're under pressure. You learn how to turn stones into bread. You learn how to survive. And I looked at this man preaching, and I thought, are we sons or are we survivors? Because now we're under economic crisis in South Africa. Our electricity is not working. And what happens? We start taking on survival patterns. We will do anything to survive, like Bear Grylls. You look under every rock. You start surviving. But Jesus says, it is written, I am a son of God. So we don't have to survive because we're sons. Does that make sense? When I say sons, you know what I mean? I mean sons and daughters. And God showed me very clearly four animals. Four animals. The first one is a rabbit. What does a rabbit do when it's under pressure? And so when your marriage comes under pressure and you don't know what sonship looks like, people come to the church, you're the best preacher I've ever heard in my life. And I think you'll last 6 weeks. Because the moment the pressure comes and God starts revealing the heart and your heart starts to open and it's not very comfortable, because we're building a family. Not building a survivorship. We're building a family of independent people who are comfortable in God, and then they come and become codependent in wholeness, not brokenness. Does that make sense? What does a snake do when it's under pressure? Why am I saying this, friends? Because if you don't understand this, your husband, all of us have got highly skilled defense mechanisms. And so what happens with me, my dad was a very strong dad. So the third animal is a tortoise. A tortoise just goes into its shell. You just knock on the door. What's wrong? Nothing. You want to talk about it? No. How are you feeling? Fine. You've all got it, eh? And the fourth one, which is normally used by Christian women, is the turkey. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Your poor husband has been working his chili off in Santon today, and he comes back, and you've been reading the Bible. You're going to come back and says, Matthew 4 says, blah, 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 blah. Rory told us, blah, 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 blah. I'm a top and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Blah, 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 blah. I've seen so many women manipulate their husbands with scripture. It's frightening. It's frightening. Women's Bible studies are dangerous because the poor oak comes back from Santon. He just wants to chow, go to bed, maybe have sex every now and again. And he's just getting like Isaiah 57 verse 32 says, you know. And so we've got this incredibly intertwined defense mechanism that comes to our hearts because we don't know what's that. So when the devil comes and says, if you are the son of God, and now a rabbit is married to a tortoise and you don't know how to confront, so one runs and one hides, and 3 weeks later you're still sitting over little things and the devil says, I've got you because your identity's been distorted and I'm going to nail you. And your kids are going to grow up in that broken home of shouting and screaming and unfinished business, instead of saying, no, we are the sons of God. We're not going to run. We're not going to hide. We're going to deal with this because my identity is not in the solution of my marriage. My identity is in God. Does that make sense? So let me ask you this. Are you a runner, a fighter, a hider, or a scripture repeater? Blah, 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 blah. I think of those poor oaks that come home. You think, oh, let the beer, my flow, as a belief, and a Buddha Vossi, and a thing, as a belief. The book of Jacobus, not for none, not my sissy. As a belief, not for none, Jacobus, not my sissy. The poor oaks, they can't even get to the Bible. So the Bible says this. Go into all the world. Say, go into all the world. And baptize them in the name of the? No. Go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the? So I've seen people baptized and come up in the name of the Father and not act like sons and daughters. I thought, geez, that's strange. Why is that? But the Great Commission is to go into all the world and baptize them. And then I realized I took a bottle of water. Just stand there. Just stand right there. Okay, face me. Just lift your hands. This is a very special young lady in my life. It just so happened. I'm not an apostle. I'm a pastor. So I don't know how we ended up with this big church. But this big church is made up of just individual stories. And my wife came home one day and said, "There's this girl." And then all of you gave her your wedding dresses. And the Bible says, go into all the world. It's not funny, this. Go into all the world and baptize them. Just tell them about God. Would you stop a service and just remind my daughter that I love her and that I'm really pleased with her, and that the fact that she came here was just a miracle. The fact that she ended up with you mothers was just a miracle. And would you just remind her that I've given her honor and glory, and people are like saying, "Why are you pregnant?" And God is saying, "I really love you, and I'm going to take that child, and I'm going to weave a DNA, and I'm going to do something that you've never ever known in your whole life. I'm just going to tell you about myself and about my nature and about my kindness and about my forgiveness and about my authority and about my identity and about my generosity and about my restoration and about my future and about my inheritance." You just go into all the world and you just baptize them. Take the water of the word, Matthew 3 and Matthew 4 and John chapter 1 and 2 Peter, and we just go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We just go and just baptize them. Keep standing there. And one day I was driving along a drive, never heard God speak to me. And I felt God say, "Just stay there. Why did you use a man-made thing? Why did you use a man-made bottle of 500 millimeters to describe baptism? Why did you use this thing, which a man made, which is limited in everything, to describe going to all the world and baptize? Why did you use something that I've made? Why don't you use like the Niagara Falls, or why don't you use the Victoria Falls and go into all the world and just baptize them, just fully immerse them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Take Ephesians chapter 1 and the glorious Father, and take James chapter 1, that every good and perfect gift comes from the heavenly Father who does not change like shifting shadows. And when your Father changes and he's bipolar, and you just take the heavenly Father who never changes and just baptize, and you baptize. Just, can somebody bring me a towel so I'm not embarrassed? Just baptize and baptize. Ladies, just lift your hands. Close your eyes. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for this privilege of being the only man besides the little boys here, of coming into a room of your daughters. For whatever reason they're here, Lord God, you knew they had to be here to remember just a few things. You're a daughter by spirituality in Jesus, not because of biology. And you say, "But my biology is completely messed." I say, you're not here because of your biology, you're here because of Jesus. Your biology is bypassed and you've been given a right. There's a voice from heaven that will determine your future, and that voice says, "I love you. I love you. You're my son. And I'm well pleased with you. You've received honor and glory. You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You don't have to turn stones into bread, because you're the sons and daughters of God." I pray that you'll be baptized in this word. In Jesus' name, amen.